We can never successfully grow cilantro. Is there any advice on how to do it? Ground squirrels ate everything I planted last year. I tried everything I could to protect my plants, but the squirrels won. What can I do to keep them away? Are drip systems difficult to install? Is there a lot of digging involved? These are just a few of the questions of many we have received even before getting started today with the Spring Gardening Confidential. Jeff Anderson from the Doñana County Extension Office will be joining us next after NPR News to answer those questions and those you'd like to call in today. Or you can also follow along on Facebook and submit a question there. It's KRWG Public Media's Spring Gardening Confidential, made possible by Oregon Mountain Solar and Sierra Vista Growers. And we'll get started next on KRWG. 12:04 at KRWG. Good afternoon. Looking forward to the next couple of hours with the Doñana County Extension Office Master Gardener, Jeff Anderson, who is joining us today for the Spring Gardening Confidential. But of course, it is the final day of the KRWG Public Media Spring Membership Drive as well. So before we begin the gardening show, Edmundo Resendez, our development director, is here to tell us how things are going on this final day.
Well, thank you, Casey. We have a goal of $110,000, and we are currently sitting at $103,000 and $621. So we are $6,379 away from reaching our overall goal of $110,000. Casey, what I'd like to do this hour is get under $6,000 at 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794, or give online at krwg.org. Casey, this could be a record-breaking fund drive for KRWG, and that's what we want it to be. We want to break all records.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been such a great week. You know, one of the things that just really is so heartwarming is how many members of the community come together to tell their stories about why they support KRWG Public Media.
And one of the many reasons is the diversity of programs that KRWG offers. Programs like the Gardening Confidential. Jeff and I started this program, 3 years ago, and we just came up with a concept that, you know, people in this community love their gardening. And that is why we put this show on the air. And then we loved it so much, or our audience loved it so much, that we expanded it to twice a year, spring and fall. And then people loved it so much that we expanded it to 2 hours. So we've done this as a result of listeners who value this service. Because you value shows like the Gardening Confidential, give us a call right now, 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794, or give online at krwg.org.
It is easy. And of course, if you're participating today in the Spring Gardening Confidential, we definitely want to hear from you. There is a different number to call if you have a question for Jeff today. And that number is 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 to ask a question this afternoon during the Spring Gardening Confidential, made possible by Oregon Mountain Solar and Sierra Vista Growers. So give while you're listening and while you're thinking about your own gardening situation. Let's get started. Good afternoon, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing really well today.
Great. Friday. Good. It's good to hear. And, you know, we did receive, you know, dozens of questions for you in advance. So we can really just dive in and get started with some of the questions that came in earlier, like from Barbara, who said they can never successfully grow cilantro. Do you have any advice on how to do it?
Well, I don't know how anybody cannot be successful at growing cilantro. I don't particularly care for it myself. My body doesn't like it. But when I first moved here, I grew it and it was very easy. I started it in the spring, grew it pretty much like parsley. The main thing is just to keep it watered, make sure you got enough nutrition in your potting mix or if you're going to put it in the garden. But it should be really straightforward. So you may not be giving it enough water. That's one of the big problems around here. People don't water enough.
Would you suggest growing it in a pot versus in the ground?
Yes, grown in a large pot, at least a 12-inch size, and with good potting soil, that should solve any of the problems there.
And what kind of soil do you recommend?
Any good quality potting soil. You don't have to get the most expensive one, but you want to get something that has good drainage.
All right. 575-646-2212, the telephone number to call. And Bob is on the line to speak with Jeff this afternoon on the Spring Gardening Confidential. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hi. Fine, thanks. And thank you for bringing this great resource to our community. My question is, this year I decided to put in a wicking bed garden, and I was wondering if you knew anybody else in the area that's doing similar things.
I haven't heard of anybody else doing a wicking garden. It's possible to do it. And I imagine you just take like a wick, like you have a candle or a kerosene lamp type cloth or rope of some sort, and it sits in the water and helps pull that water up into the pot, and as a way of doing that. No, I don't know anybody that's really doing it. I've seen it done with house plants on a limited basis.
Okay, yeah, I'm doing an entire bed, and I'm going off what I guess a bunch of Australians and other people are doing on the internet, but it seems like it'd be something that's useful for this area.
It's a good way of supplying water. It's kind of like the Oya principle of the Native Americans, putting Oyas, clay Oyas, in the ground with water in them, and as that wicked out, the roots around the pot would absorb the water.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you very much.
Good luck with it, Bob. Thank you for calling. 575-646-2212 if you have a question for Jeff on the Spring Gardening Confidential. Lori submitted this question in advance. Lori actually supplied an answer to Barbara's question on growing cilantro. I see these must have been taken from Facebook, because in some cases, some of the questions are answered by some of the other participants. Like, for example, ground squirrels ate everything I planted last year. I tried everything I could do to protect my plants, but the squirrels won. What can I do to keep them away? That was from Vincent, and Elva responded, get a cat. What do you say, Jeff?
If you've got ground squirrels, you may need to trap them out. They're going to be very persistent. They can also eat the wiring in your car. If you live out in the desert edges there and you get ground squirrels, they'll come and chew all the wiring in your car. They can tunnel underneath your house and eat any kind of wiring that you have anywhere there as well. So you need to deal with them either humanely and trap them and do something with them there, or dispose of them somehow.
All right. Thanks very much, Jeff. We have another caller on the line. Let's go to Heidi, who is holding with a question for Jeff. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for doing this program. I absolutely love it, and I definitely need your help.
All right. Lay it out.
So I've been gardening for quite a few years, and I live in Silver City, so I'm a little higher elevation. And the last couple of years, I have had trouble with tomatoes, strawberries, and grapes being anything bigger than a pea. Last year, I tried fertilizing a lot, and what I got was great big leaves and wonderful bushes, and my early girl tomatoes are about the size of a cherry tomato, and my cherry tomatoes are about the size of a pea.
So anytime your fruit is small like that, for the most part, it's going to be a watering issue, and it's consistent watering. If you're watering, let's say, on a Monday, and you don't water until like a Wednesday, let's say, or longer, the fruit is going to, obviously would have been started growing. It gets a little dry, it stops growing, and it toughens up, and then you give it water, and now it has to send a whole new hormonal signal to itself to tell the fruit to start growing. But before that hormonal signal can be fully implemented, it gets dry again. So your fruit can't grow very large and doesn't mature properly.
Because normally I put it on a drip system, and
right.
I water generally in the morning and in the afternoon, but only for about 10 minutes each time.
Okay. Is that in a raised bed or in the ground?
it's in the ground.
Yeah, you want to check your moisture levels there, and your fertilizer too. You know, if you're watering a lot, sometimes you wash out the nutrients out of the soil. So if you use like an Osmocote, a microencapsulated fertilizer, it releases a little bit at a time. Every time you water, there's a little bit of fertilizer released, and that helps a whole lot too. But small fruit is a water problem. Something's happening there with the water.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I'll give it a shot this spring, and we'll see what happens.
All right, Heidi, thanks for your call today.
Thank you.
1213, this is the Spring Gardening Confidential with Jeff Anderson, 575-646-2212. And let's go to our next caller, Beverly, who is holding with a question. Thanks for calling, Beverly.
Hello. Hi, Jeff. Yes, my question is watering. I have many old trees, probably, you know, like 25 or 30 years old trees, lots of cypress, three pine trees, an ash, and so on. I followed the schedule of when it gets to be above 80 twice a week, and then when it gets really hot twice a month, and then once a week when it gets up to 100 or so. With the drought, things are just different. So what do you suggest?
So your trees are no respecters of drought or water shortages. They have a minimal requirement of water, no matter what, and you need to meet those requirements. I often tell people that a mature cottonwood tree takes 250 gallons of water a day. So when people talk about planting like 10 cottonwood trees in their yard, I'm like, where are you going to get the water from? Yes, you need to make sure that they supply the correct amount of water in the correct pattern. You need to cover the root area underneath the tree canopy minimally, and you have to have enough water. Most of the roots of the trees are 2 to 3 feet deep in the soil. A lot of people think they're a lot deeper. They're not. Most of the absorbing roots are in the 2 to 3 foot depth. If that area gets too dry, you're going to have tree problems, tree dieback, limb breakage, you're going to get borers, insects coming in there. So you need to be watering the minimum of 3 times a week.
All right, yes. I have a probe, a stainless steel probe, that I can get down to about 15 inches before it hits solid ground.
So, if you're hitting solid ground, that's either a dry zone where it won't go through, or your probe isn't long enough. So you need to somehow check that that's getting down deeper than that. If the water's only going 15 inches, you could start building up salt in the soil. Because as water evaporates, it leaves the salt behind, and you could start creating a caliche and or a salt layer.
Okay. All right. So I need to water more often is what you're telling me.
Yeah, depending on the soil, especially sandy soils, you need to water very frequently. And every so often, you need to water a whole lot and water deep to drive salts deeper than the root system.
Okay. All right. Well, I will do that. I'm learning how to keep smaller plants. So I think I can handle that part. But I was just concerned about trees because of the drought we're having. So, well, thank you very much for your information, and have a good afternoon.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Beverly. And Marna is holding as well with a question for Jeff on the Spring Gardening Confidential. Hi, Marna.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Great.
And thank you all so much for taking my call. My husband is in search of really good tomatoes around here. We have planted some. We have had no luck at all. It was kind of a follow-up to the conversation you had, I think, 2 calls ago. So what are, the best kinds of tomatoes for this climate? Because we're sort of newbies with transplants. And what do you suggest to make them even produce? A couple of times we've tried it, we've had no luck at all.
So for tomatoes, and I know there are probably some people who argue with me, but you don't want to really bother growing heirloom variety tomatoes. They don't produce very well here. Right. So most tomatoes will stop producing fruit at about 85 degrees. There are a few that go up a little higher into about 90 or so. Tomatoes like Heat Wave, Mortgage Lifter, Celebrity has been a really good one. We're kind of stuck with whatever they sell here in the stores, unless you order the seeds in yourself and grow them yourself. So I grow some Italian varieties or grow some Spanish varieties, but you have to look for heat-tolerant varieties. And if you really want enough tomatoes, grow those ones about 3 to 4 ounces. Big beefsteak tomatoes, it takes a lot more resources to get that big tomato. So to grow a really great tomato, you need a real fertile soil, but not a lot of nitrogen. You need micronutrients in it. You need consistent watering, which means you may need to water twice a day to keep that water consistent so that the tomato will grow. And like I said, okay, you don't want to overdo nitrogen, otherwise you just get a plant. And avoid the heirloom variety tomatoes and grow ones, talk to your neighbors and that, and grow those varieties that do really well. And you could try determinate tomatoes as well. So there's two types, indeterminate and determinate. Indeterminate, okay, keep growing. Determinate will grow to a certain point, set all the fruit, and then usually the plant dies after that. And that sometimes could be a better variety for here because summer gets so hot, your tomatoes are going to stop anyway. So if you grow determinate, they'll grow, set all kinds of fruit, and then they're gone for the heat of the summer, and then you could start a whole new batch before fall.
Perfect. Okay. Sounds good. I appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you, Marna. And a question coming in from Facebook from Leslie, which we'll get to in just a moment because right now it is 12:20. And it's time to bring back our development director, Edmundo Resendez. It is our spring membership drive here at KRWG Public Media. So if you enjoy the Gardening Confidential, we can only bring you this type of excellent programming with your support. Right, Edmundo? I'm going to have to say it. You're on mute.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
We went almost the whole week without saying it.
I know, and leave it to me to do it. Well, you are correct, Casey. We can only do this type of programming with the support of the community, of our listeners. Because you value this service, we are looking for you to call in, or better yet, so we don't give out so many phone numbers, log online to krwg.org. And do your support right now. It only takes about 2 or 3 minutes to do so. And then you can go back and enjoy listening to the rest of the Gardening Confidential. It's coming up. There's a lot of questions that are coming up, and we want to get to them. But at the same time, we need your support. We are $300 from reaching our goal for this hour. $300, 888-922-5794, or better yet, at $10 a month, that would help us reach our goal. 3 calls right now. Do your part for KRWG. Do your part. Pay it forward. Think about how great it feels to be able to tune in and listening to the Gardening Confidential for 2 hours. 2 hours we bring you this show. And Jeff works real hard to try to answer as many questions as he can. And we do very well in providing the opportunity for him to have a platform. Isn't that correct, Jeff?
That's correct. Thank you.
And so if you write that number down, 888-922-5794, that will help you keep track because, as you said, Edmundo, we don't want to give too many phone numbers out. But here, write this one down as well. It's 575-646-2212. And, of course, that's the number that you can call to speak with Jeff Anderson this afternoon on the Gardening Confidential. I think, was it just last night you were on with Emily Guerra during Fiesta? It's been such a fun week listening to Fiesta with all of the participants from the community, including Randy Granger just the night before.
Right.
It's been so wonderful to see all of the community support, not only for the great NPR programming, which, of course, KRWG Public Media has to spend about $250,000 every year to bring you Morning Edition and All Things Considered and Here and Now and the great variety of weekend programming as well. But I wanted to focus a little bit on that local music programming.
That's right. Local music programming, La Fiesta, Intermezzo, which is coming up at 2 o'clock. And of course, we also bring you on Saturday nights, Cross City Blues with Marty Racine. It's a new addition to KRWG. Because you enjoy these programs, because you enjoy having a break sometimes from all the news and you want to tune into Fiesta and listen to the bilingual program, we are looking for you to give your support right now at krwg.org. That is the website where you can go, hit the donate button, give your support, do so right now. Again, we're $300 away from reaching the goal for this hour. Three calls at 120. One contribution, a dollar a day sponsor, will help us surpass that goal. But the important thing is that you do your part because you're enjoying the show right now. Take a break. Give us a call right now. Give online. Do your part for the Gardening Confidential. Do your part for KRWG Public Media.
All right, let's get back to that question that came in on Facebook from Leslie, who says, I just bought a pixie miniature peach a few weeks ago, and it has loads of little peaches already. When is a good time to thin out the peaches to ensure that I get mature fruit?
So right away, once you get past a few weeks and the fruit gets to be about a quarter of an inch in size, then you pretty much know that those aren't going to fall off. So if they're a quarter inch in size right now, I would thin them out a bit right now.
Right now. All right. That's a quick answer. 575-646-2212 is the telephone number to call if you have a question for the Spring Gardening Confidential and Jeff Anderson. I had joked around earlier this week that I had never had the experience yet where you couldn't answer a question. So I was wondering if we could ever stump Jeff here on the Spring Gardening Confidential. Not that that's the goal, Jeff, but you told a great story about the one time that you were stumped, and I wanted you to share that experience.
Oh, yeah. I was saying that one time somebody brought in a little piece of twig, and I think it was about a quarter of an inch big, and it was totally dead. And somebody brought it in and handed it to me, and they said they wanted to know what it was and what killed it. And I looked at it, and I'm usually pretty good, and I said, there's not enough here for me to make a judgment. I asked him, I said, why do you want to know what killed it? He goes, because I don't want to do it again. And I said, well, I don't know what it is, but there's not enough of it here to make a determination.
575-646-2212 if you have a question. Lori did have a question for you, Jeff, from before today's program. Are squash vine borers a problem here? If so, what can be done to prevent them from piercing the stems?
So they're not borers. They're squash bugs. They're actually true bugs. So there are beetles and true bugs. And they pierce in. What can be done? That's the big question that nobody really has an answer for. What you can do, I've heard of wrapping up the ends of the your vine next to the ground with aluminum foil so that they can't pierce into that. Sprinkling them with seven, or seven's a chemical, or going out every day and picking them off and disposing of them. Those are about the only ways you can do it.
All right. And we have another question coming in from Facebook now from Janine, who says, I have a hard time growing tomatoes. I'm trying a raised bed this year. What is the secret and best variety of tomato to plant in the South? But, well, we just covered a lot of that territory, Janine, in terms of the varieties of tomatoes that you suggested, Jeff, for the Desert Southwest, looking for those heat-tolerant varieties. I wrote a couple down because I wanted to go home and try it myself. You said Heat Wave, Celebrity, and what was another good one to try?
One is Sioux, S-I-O-U-X. Sioux is a great tomato, a very good flavor. Chances are you're not going to find it in the store. You have to grow it yourself from seed. But another one is Italian varieties, Costoluto Genovese. Great Italian varieties. They're from hotter areas. So the heirlooms were bred farther north, like you're talking Germany or up in New England and stuff. And so if you get into some of those more Italian, Spanish varieties, they can tolerate a little more heat, or look for heat-bred ones in the United States, type ones.
All right. And let's move on to another question that we received in advance from Lucy. Are drip systems difficult to install? Is there a lot of digging involved?
So drip systems, it depends on where you're installing them. So if you're up on Talavera and you've got rocky soil, it could be very difficult to install up there. If you're in real sandy soil, it could be pretty easy to install. So it matters where you're doing it at. Mm-hmm. Some of the drip systems you can run on the top of the ground and utilize them that way and run the drips off of them. That way you don't have to do any digging, but you have to drain them out before winter so that they don't freeze and break. Other ones, it's preferred to run them underground. So, you know, if you live out of the city and you've got pack rats and things like that, or those ground squirrels, they're going to come and chew on your pipes. So a lot of times it's better to get them buried where they can't get at them to chew on them and monitor them that way. But yeah, there is digging involved if you're going to bury them. But they do rent out like a ditch digger, and you can rent those as long as you don't have any water pipes or electric, you know, buried. You got to find out where those are before you run one of those machines over it.
All right, 1229 at KRWG. It's the Spring Gardening Confidential with Jeff Anderson, made possible by Oregon Mountain Solar and Sierra Vista Growers. Just tons of questions in advance today. If you'd like to call in a question, 575-646-2212, or you can follow along on Facebook and ask us a question there. Valerie wanted to know, she says, just threw new grass seed a week and a half ago, watering consistently with no sprouts. How do we get the process started?
Well, first off, you want, when you buy your grass seed, it depends on what you purchase. So if you brought Bermuda grass seed, if the ground isn't warm enough, it's not going to germinate very well. So the ground temperature has to be, you know, sufficient in the 60s. And then if you're doing fescue, you want it cool enough. It's too hot, it may not germinate. So depending on the grass type, and then you need to water it. And I usually tell people about 10 times a day. So you've got, that seed is very small. So, and it's right at the surface of where you planted it. So it's not very deep in the ground. So you've got to keep that top layer of soil evenly moist for at least a couple weeks till it germinates and the roots start getting down. If you don't do that, you'll get bare areas, or it could start germinating. And if it dries, it'll die right there. So all that work you went and planted the seed, if you let it dry one time at the wrong time, it's dead. So you've got to keep it continually moist until it really gets going.
Wow. It's another question coming for an off-air question. Let's see. It is, I purchased roses from Home Depot in a big round package. They put wax on the stalks. The wax was to protect during the winter, but in the spring and summer, it burns the wax and they die. What can I do to get this wax off? Tried using a knife, but it is very hard to get off. Scraping the stalks damages them. How do I deal with that?
So realistically, the wax is there to protect the canes from drying out. And the wax shouldn't hurt the rose. And they should be able to grow through it. So, you know, if you're planting your roses like that, they're bare root, and that's why they're covered in wax on the canes. You need to keep them consistently moist. And one of the things you can also do is to keep those canes moist is to mound some soil up around them. I've seen people put a bag over the top and put soil in the bag until they start sprouting and keep that moist and then remove that soil away. But the wax shouldn't be hurting them. You shouldn't have to try and get it off.
Okay.
It's pretty hard to, almost impossible to get it off.
Maybe there's something else going wrong ultimately later on in the summer, huh?
Right.
Adrian says, ants, don't want to use pesticides. Tried Dawn vinegar and Epsom salt.
Ants. Ants can be very beneficial. Depends on what they're doing. So a lot of native ants are really good. If you see ants, they're generally, if you see them on a fruit tree or roses or plants like that, it generally means you have aphid problems, because ants use aphids like little cows, and they milk them for the honeydew and the sugars. So That's what ants do. So they indicate a different problem. So you may have to clean up the aphid problem to get rid of the ants. Now, getting rid of ants, there's a number of organic things around that you can do. I don't have any that come to mind right offhand, but I'm sure I could look up some. You know, if you wanted to give me a call, we could discuss it.
What is your contact information, Jeff, if someone does want to reach you outside of this program?
Okay, so during COVID, it's a little bit of a little problem. So our telephone number is 575-525-6649, and that will go to the it's transferred to the secretary, and then she sends me an email. So it kind of goes through a loop because we don't have enough people in the office to be answering the phone. The other way to reach me is at my email, and that's L-A-N-T-Z, Lance, at nmsu.edu.
All right. Someone suggested to me the other day, because I have ants move through my house every year, and last year, and it doesn't bother me. Usually it's a couple of days, and they just go through and do their thing. But last year, there were a lot more, and it took them a lot longer. So I was trying to think of ways to repel them. I was just talking to Joe Widmer here at KRWG, and he said he had had success with diatomaceous earth.
Yeah, diatomaceous earth is sharp crustacean pieces from a long time, thousands of years ago. And it's sharp, so a lot of soft-bodied insects that move across them, it's like little knives, and it cuts them, and they bleed to death. It's kind of a horrible thought, but that's what diatomaceous earth does. Ants, I'm not sure how susceptible ants are to it because they got the long legs and can walk over it, but if it works, that's great.
Gotcha. Okay. I thought it was just a repellent.
Yeah, they may not like walking on what looks sharp like that.
All right. Sandy asks, can I grow poppies in my rock yard and sand ledges?
I don't know what the last one is. Sand something?
Sand ledges.
I've never heard that term, sand ledges. Well, let's talk about the poppies. So, yes, you could grow poppies. Generally, you need to sow them in October and then keep the seed moist through the winter. There are a lot of different types of poppies, from Iceland poppies to California to our Mexican gold poppies to Flanders poppies. So most of them will grow here. If you sow them in October, keep the seed moist, they'll germinate in soil here, and a little bit of water through the winter, and then they'll come up and look really beautiful and bloom in the spring. So they don't do well through the summer here. It's too hot for most of the poppies. And the sand ledges, I don't know what that is.
Not sure what you'd be referring to there exactly. Okay. We have another question from Leslie. My red-tipped photinia appears to have chlorosis, where the leaves are bleached and the veins are green. I put down iron tone from Espoma, and a few weeks later put down soil acidifier. Besides the bleached foliage, the plant looks healthy. No dried tips. And the new growth looks great. It's red, but the older leaves have not greened up yet. Is this normal, or should I take a leaf to the co-op extension to find out what might be wrong with it?
So red-tipped photinia is right on the edge of us being too alkaline for it to do well here. Some areas it does well. Sometimes it's a matter of the roots being root-bound, and if they're root-bound and constricted, nutrients can't flow through the tissues. And so you get chlorosis, especially on stuff that it's marginal for the RPH here. Now, you can put down EDDHA iron is the best one to use because it's available in all of our pH range here. But if you have consistent problems, there's probably something wrong in the root system.
All right. We did have a question come in earlier for folks that are growing in the higher elevations of our listening area, such as Silver City. Any tips for those gardeners at higher altitudes?
Tips in regard to what?
Well, it was a very basic question just for people growing at higher altitudes. Would there be differences in watering frequency or soil that they would be using?
Not necessarily. As you go higher in elevation, you can get greater evaporation, but cooler temperatures, so it can be kind of the same. But if you're really hot, like Silver City can get hot, and so they can evaporate faster. So getting that consistent moisture, you have to figure out your regime to keep consistent moisture. You know, like we were talking about, if you're growing tomatoes, and that's why some of the native plants are really great, because they can take that drought a little bit longer. But everything needs water, but everything applies pretty much the same. You're starting your vegetables outside just a little bit different, because your higher elevation is going to be later in the year.
All right. Are you familiar with the back to Eden method of growing, Jeff?
No, although, you know, this is really funny, because I've heard like permaculture and all these terms. When I grew up as a kid, I grew up observing how things were in the forest. I saw leaf mold, you know, leaves fall down and they decompose and they went back in the soil. So I grew up as a kid mimicking nature, just watching it. I thought native plants in the forest, I thought that's what everybody grew, were native plants. And now I hear all these terms like permaculture and native plant gardening and that. And I'm like, I've been doing it since I was a kid and didn't have a label on it. So back to Eden type stuff, I'm not sure. I think it probably means something the same.
Well, that was what Eric asked, if anyone has tried the back to Eden method of growing in the Southwest. So if you have tried it and are familiar with it, you can always jump in too, 575-646-2212, to be a part of the Spring Gardening Confidential with Jeff Anderson from the Doñana County Extension Office. It's made possible by Oregon Mountain Solar and Sierra Vista Growers. And Edmundo Resendez, our development director, is with us this afternoon because it is the final day of the spring membership drive for KRWG, and we had a goal of $300 for this hour, for the first hour of the Spring Gardening Confidential, and it looks like there's a couple of folks to thank already.
Yes. Want to thank Francis from TRC, Anonymous from Mesilla, and Elizabeth Nava, who loves Fiesta and Latino USA. Thank you very much to Elizabeth, Francis, and Anonymous. We were able to make our goal for the first hour. So now what we want to do is make our goal for the second hour, which is $750. So let's jump ahead at 575. Well, see, I give out the gardening line, 646-2212. But the easier thing to do is to go online to krwg.org. Make your contribution there. It only takes about 2 minutes. In the time that Casey and I are talking about becoming a listener sponsor, you'll be back in just a few and get back to the gardening show. Lots of questions coming in, and it's a fantastic show. It's one of my favorite shows that we have on KRWG because it gives back to the community. It allows for people in our area to ask questions directly from an expert who knows what is and can be successful in this area. You know, Casey, it's fantastic when we hear from folks that love Fiesta and Latino USA. We have a plethora, if I may say so, of wonderful shows here at KRWG, from Latino USA, Fresh Air, Here and Now, of course, All Things Considered. All of these shows are made possible through the generous support of listeners. We receive 45% of our budget comes from listeners and business support. Your contribution right now goes a long way in ensuring the future of public media. If it is within your means, consider becoming a member at the Oro Vista Pioneer. That's $1,000. That's $83 a month, and your gift goes a long way to make sure that public media is here not just for you, but for others in our community who have yet to invest in public media, and you are paying it forward.
This evening, or Saturday evening at 5 on KRWG News this week, Fred Martino has that show, and a continuance of the conversation with Camilla Feilbellman, who's the regional director of the Sierra Club, and they're talking about how New Mexico can become more sustainable. So if you're interested in the Gardening Confidential, you'll probably be very interested to listen to that conversation on Saturday evening at 5 p.m. They'll discuss ways to reduce the impacts of climate climate change. You'll hear the week's top stories and more. That's all Saturday evening at 5 with Fred Martino, our content director. So again, another example of some great local programming, and you can always find that at krwg.org. Over the course of the last few weeks, he had documentaries from the Rural History, the Oral Rural History Project, which is a mouthful to say, but there were several segments along the way of what life was like, you know, decades ago here in the state of New Mexico. And so it's just been a fascinating hour of great local programming.
And local programming is key. That is what we want to do, is invest in local programming like KRWG this week. Because you value these kind of stories, the news stories that you hear on Morning Edition, on All Things Considered, and of course, Emily Guerra, Leora Zeitlin, all of these wonderful local shows are made possible through the generous support of people just like you. Because you value programs like The Gardening Confidential, like Voice of the Public, like The Red or Green Confidential, and like the Tamale, well, actually, we changed the name from the Tamale Confidential to Talking Tamales. That controversy of tamale being singular or plural, just really, I just couldn't take it anymore. So we just changed it to Talking Tamales and let others argue that debate. But anyway, give online at krwg.org. 7 calls at 120 will help us get to our next goal for the next hour. And again, we are wrapping up the fund drive this afternoon, and we want to do it with your support. We are now $5,844 away from reaching our goal. And Casey, I have a good feeling that we can do this and wrap it up this evening with a record-breaking fund drive.
It's pretty amazing to be under that $6,000 mark already. So thank you for those of you who have already called in with your support this afternoon during the Spring Gardening Confidential. We have Jeff Anderson here with us until 2 o'clock to take your questions at 575-646-2212. So that's the number to call to be a part of the Gardening Confidential. The number to call to make your contribution to support KRWG Public Media is 888-922-5794, or you can do it online anytime at krwg.org. All right, let's get back to these questions for Jeff. Victor and Veronica have a question about ladybugs. Is an infestation of ladybugs bad for trees, roses, grass, etc.?
An infestation of ladybugs is probably a good thing, but whatever they're eating means you might have a lot of other unwanted bugs, such as aphids. So ladybird beetles, ladybugs, are highly beneficial. And we need to recognize the larval stage of the ladybird beetle, the ladybug. So we know the adult form with the usually orange with black spots on it. But people take a look on the internet what the larva looks like. It looks totally different. And the larva eats a lot of aphids. So we want to make sure we protect them and don't go out and spray them and try to kill them. They are the beneficials. So take a look and see what the ladybugs are eating. They're probably feeding on aphids on your tree or something like that. So they're very beneficial if you've got a big mass of them.
So if we discover that, oh yeah, there's aphids there and the ladybugs are eating them, but we don't want to do anything to kill the ladybugs, do we just let nature take its course?
For the most part, yes. You're going to let nature take its course, because you'll get a rise in the bad bugs, and then the rise in the good bugs come, and then it'll come back to balance and they'll consume them. So if you can wait it out, that's a good thing. If you can't wait it out, then you may have to resort to some other treatment. But then you're going to affect the ladybugs on them.
I have a dumb question. Can you buy ladybugs?
You can buy ladybugs. It's a difficult thing because you can't make ladybugs stay where you put them. So they've got wings and they can fly other places. So if you're going to buy them and you want to put them out, buy them, wet down the foliage where you're going to put them so they want some moisture there, and do it late in the evening, because if you do it in the day, they'll fly away. So if you do it in the evening, they're more likely to stay there for a while.
I see. Anything you can do to tempt them to stick around.
Yep. And then maybe they'll lay some eggs, and then the larva will hatch out, and then you get a longer extension of that. Because in the summertime, ladybugs fly up to the mountain where it's cooler.
I see. All right. Next question is from Catherine. How do you... Oh, the blueberry question. How do you grow blueberries here? I've bought a few plants and they always die.
Yeah. Blueberries need a pH of about 4.5 to 5. So that's very acidic. Our pH is about 7.8 to 8.2. It's like in the completely opposite. So the trouble with alkaline soil is that it locks up iron and micronutrients where the plant can't extract them. And then you have too much calcium. So the plant may grow for a little while, but then it can't get micronutrients. It's kind of like people, if you can't get enough iron, you get anemic. Well, the plant gets sick and will eventually die unless you can keep the soil acidic and supply. You can do that with some acids like acetic acid or some vinegar and supply like iron, EDD, HA, iron in a chelated form so that the plant will continue to live. And do it in a container. It's easier than in the ground.
All right. June says, it asks if you have a small, pet-friendly, inexpensive way to keep grass green where your pet likes to visit frequently.
So if you got a puppy or a dog peeing in a certain area, the only way to keep those areas green is with water. Because that urine is high in nitrogen and salt. And there's nothing you can spray on there to counteract that. Only water, get it rinsed through there and dilute it. It's dilution.
All right. Christina says, what's the best way to deal with caliche, which you mentioned earlier? Can you amend the soil to soften it over time?
I'm going to say no. Caliche has formed out of calcium carbonate. It's kind of like concrete. In time, but it would take a lot of time and a lot of acid to break through there, and not in our lifetime kind of a thing. And adding that much acid is going to be very difficult, and what you get is something not so great. So, you know, if you're trying to grow things that will either grow on the top of caliche, or if you can drill a hole through caliche, it opens up the drainage so that the roots can get through, or you do it raised beds. You have to do raised beds.
All right, we've got a caller on the line, 575-646-2212. If you have a question for Jeff on the Spring Gardening Confidential. Good afternoon, Allison. How are you?
Okay.
Go ahead with your question.
I would like to ask about fig trees. I planted one about 2 years ago. It doesn't seem to... be doing too well, and I wondered if I'm just not watering enough, or what do fig trees need?
So to get a fig tree going well, they actually do really, really well here. You need to water sufficiently to encourage your roots to grow out. So if you're watering just next to the trunk, that's not encouraging the roots to grow out. You have to water an area around the whole plant so the roots will grow out. That'll make it more drought tolerant. And you want to give it small amounts of fertilizer. Don't over-fertilize it, because fertilizer is salt. Too much fertilizer will burn it, and it burns the roots off, and then it'll never do anything. So small amounts of fertilizer from April to the end of July, not after July. And then it should grow well. And pick the right varieties.
What's the right variety?
So one of the great ones around here has been brown turkey. Brown turkey has done very well here, and it seems to be pretty easy to get. Mission's been really a good one that works really here. I can't recommend Celeste. It's got little tiny fruits. It grows really well, but the fruit's really tiny. I wasn't impressed with it. And there are other ones you can get online. There's one called Petit Negre, which is a dwarf one, which is really great, but they don't sell it locally. You have to order it online.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call, Allison. And let's try to squeeze Dave in before this hour is through. Hi, good afternoon, Dave.
Hello. I'm calling in regards to the ants you were talking about earlier. There is something that's pretty close to an organic solution, boric acid, powdered boric acid. and you mix it with a little bit of cheap jam or jelly. And if they're sweet feeding ants, particularly the little ones that get into the house, they'll go to it and they'll wipe out their nest in about a week and a half.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I was thinking about, boric acid.
Pardon?
Yeah, if you do it in small amounts, it's really great. But you don't want to sprinkle boric acid too much on your soil because of the boron in it. You don't want to build
that up.
That's
right, yeah. But, and there's also a product that they have at Ace Hard. It's hard to find boric acid nowadays. It used to be in every pharmacy. But there's a product, I don't know if it's technically organic or not, but called Taro. And it basically it has boron in it, or borax, rather.
Boron can be toxic, so you got to be real careful.
I meant borax. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, thank you, Dave.
Okay.
Appreciate the help. And
let's go
ahead. I think we have just enough time to address Joel's question, who's holding with for Jeff this afternoon on the Spring Gardening Confidential. Hi, Joel.
Hi. I'm wanting to put in a little water garden this summer, and I'm wondering, is there anywhere in the area that sells water lilies and other aquatic plants?
You know, I've seen little packages, and I hate to say the names, but Lowe's and Home Depot a lot of times will get in these little tiny cartons like Casey's drink cup, an 8-ounce cup or something, and they have a plant in there. I've actually purchased one called James Bryden, and it actually did very well. But you can order a bigger range of plants from like lily ponds and different other gardens online.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good luck. Good luck with it. Thanks for calling. And from Facebook, we have a question from an El Paso listener who says, I've been wanting to plant citrus, Owari satsumas, and was wondering how citrus trees do out here in the area and where they could be purchased. I don't even know if I pronounced that correctly, but.
Yes, you did. Owari satsuma. It's a mandarin orange. Citrus, it's really interesting. I actually do grow quite a few citrus trees in my own yard, and they are subject to freezing. You have to realize that. One of the difficult things is, you know, if you grow a grafted one and if it freezes below the graft, you're going to get the rootstock, which is an inedible citrus fruit. So you can grow lemons and grapefruit and I think oranges and that from seed yourself if you're young enough, because it takes about 10, 11 years to bear. So they will come true from seed. So if you get a ruby red grapefruit and you plant the seed 99% of the time, you will get a ruby red grapefruit tree. And if you get a bad freeze and it freezes to the ground, it'll come back up, the same thing. So you want to put them in a real protected area, south, southwest, southeast, some area like that. If you got an adobe house or a brick house, even better. And during the winter, if it's going to go below 18 degrees, if you can just put a blanket over it, that really helps. If it goes like in 2011 below zero, you're going to need a heater or something. But yeah, you can actually grow a number of citrus, and there's one called Citramello that can take down to 0 degrees.
Wow. All right. It is just about 12:56, and just a few minutes we'll be NPR News is, of course, coming up, but we have another hour with Jeff Anderson from the Doñana County Extension Office on the Spring Gardening Confidential, made possible by Oregon Mountain Solar and Sierra Vista Growers, and, of course, listeners like you. It is our spring membership drive here at KRWG Public Media, and our development director, Edmundo Resendez, is with us. You doing any gardening this year yourself, Edmundo?
I am, but Jeff just made me realize that I'm too old to plant certain types of trees.
Like avocados, for sure.
Like avocados. It's not going to happen for me. So, yeah, thank you, Jeff. All right, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much to those of you that have called in and participated in the show. Thank you to those of you that have logged online to krwg.org and given your support. We are about to enter the second hour of the Gardening Confidential, but right now we want to take some time to encourage you to go online to krwg.org and donate to KRWG, because this program is only made possible through the support of people like you who value this service. If you tune in, because you tune in and listen to these shows, you know that we are listener-sponsored radio. We rely on 45% of our budget to come from listeners and small business and business support. Casey, you know, as I'm thinking about, you know, the wonderment of our pledge drive is we started out on Monday. Actually, we started out over the weekend and we got one contribution of $60 and then another contribution of $120. And then it just started to add up. What I like is having the power of people. It would be wonderful if we have one person sign up a check for $110,000 and we would be done with a fund drive. But what we want instead is the power of people to bring this radio station to the community. 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794, krwg.org is a way to donate online. Casey, we've got a goal of $750 to go. We can do it, but again, it's going to take that call of support, seven calls at 120, an Auto Vista Pioneer at $1,000. It can happen right now.
One of the things that really struck me was earlier this week when Walt Rubel was joining us, and Walt has done just excellent coverage up at the state legislature, and he's brought all that coverage to us here at KRWG Public Media. And we were talking about, you know, what has happened to local journalism over the last couple of decades and how, you know, newsrooms just shrink and shrink, and newspapers shrink and shrink. That's not something I have to tell you. You've noticed your local newspaper has gotten a whole lot smaller. And what if that happened at KRWG Public Media, right? If we had to and then all of a sudden you tune in and the only thing that's on is in the middle of the day here and now because that's all we can afford to bring you. No. We cannot let that happen. So please contribute today, krwg.org. And that's why public media is able to thrive and even grow amidst all of that other shrinking elsewhere in the world of media. It's because of support from listeners like you.
You know, Casey, it makes me think about over the last year and a half or over the last year, what we've gone through. And it's wonderful to have programs like the Gardening Confidential as an escape, as an opportunity to really look at yourself and what you're doing. Jeff, you would agree that a lot of people over the last year have really taken up gardening because of, you know, where else are they going to spend their money? They can spend it at KRWG, of course, by making a donation at krwg.org, or they can spend it on the garden. And it is a wonderful thing to do. And we're so grateful that all the support we've gotten, krwg.org.
Yeah, and you can call 888-922-5794 to make your contribution to be a part of the Spring Gardening Confidential, which will continue right after NPR News. You can call 575-646-2212. And we're going to get back to that concept of back to Eden gardening because Jeff has done a little bit of research in the last few minutes and has just a little bit more to share on that. And we still have dozens of questions that came in before we even began today's program. So we'll get to those momentarily, and we'll also get to your questions on the telephone. And if you're following along on Facebook, you can always feel free to leave a question or comment there. More after the news.